Okay, Lord, we thank you for tonight. We thank you that your awesome Holy Spirit is going to be guiding everything tonight, Lord. And I thank you for all the testimonies and praise reports and prayer requests that have been answered and will be answered. Lord, I thank you for a mighty miracle tonight, a mighty outpouring of your Spirit upon your people. And I thank you for it, Father. It looks like there's a lot of things happening in the world. You're in control, and I believe that there are some things that seemingly looks bad that may be, you're getting people's attention. And, Lord, I just ask and I pray that tonight be a good fellowship, and that we'd all have something to give, and just bless everybody. Lord, our mission is to be a servant of all. And we just thank you for that servant heart in everybody here, Lord, to just want to give all of ourselves to each other. And that love that flows through each one of us from you, Lord. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for blessing our meeting tonight. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay. Well, as y'all probably know and heard, the big Gothic Museum over there in Paris burnt today. So, anyway, anybody got any prayer requests? Yeah, Joe, go ahead.
Well, I got a few people I want to pray for, but I need some prayer myself.
Okay.
Get a couple things to deal with. I'm feeling it now, and I felt it the last couple times to come on. I'm sweating. It's not that hot. It sure ain't hot enough for us to be sweating like this, and I find myself when I'm trying to pray or focus, I yawn a lot, so I mean, I don't see that, happening here, but I'm feeling distracted by the enemy, and I'd like a little prayer for, I think the next thing the Lord's been kind of dealing with me is just that, there's an apprehension to, speak about, the things of God, speak to people. I've noticed it before in the past, but, it's kind of, there's always there's a fear, I guess, at times that comes over, or it's just more of an apprehension. I'm like, well, I get sidetracked by other things. So I'd like to pray for boldness, a boldness and a courage, but just a boldness to speak up about those things, to not shy away or be apprehensive. And, I've also got a few people I'd like to agree. Everyone agree with me in prayer for, there's some updates with Dave. I think the Lord has really gotten his attention, I talked to him today. We got into it briefly. He was, I kind of said that the enemy was riling things up around, and he's one that really does, and so we got into it, but he came over and apologized to me. And I went and I said, well, I apologize because I kind of gave him the cold shoulder. I mean, I had like, I just was like dealing with things myself. And I just thought, well, whatever, Dave, but then I went back up and I said, okay, I'm sorry I did that. And he even apologized too. This was really what, I thought, okay, because he's apologizing for it, but it really struck me. And then I thought, man, God is working on him that he apologized for that incident that happened a couple months ago. For those who remember, it was on a Sunday morning, we were all working overtime, and he was, I knew it was the enemy, and I told him I forgived him for it. Then he said, he's under such torment, and, it was one of those days, and he said, I'm going to kill you, if you tell the supervisors about this. Basically it's, trying to get him fired at the time, and I'm sure, for those who remember, and I knew it was the enemy. I mean, the enemy really trying to scare me. And he apologized for it. He felt really sorry. I mean, I know it was really heartfelt. And I said, well, don't worry about it. I forgive you. I forgot about that. And I thought, wow, God is working on him. Because I thought if he wasn't, he would have he wouldn't have brought it up himself. I would have had to or something like that. But I thought, wow, God is doing a work on that guy. Even though he's got cancer, God's given him a lot of strength. It doesn't seem like it's really taken that effect on him, I mean, something about it, I thought, wow, he's got a lot of energy or more energy than I thought he would, but then again, I guess it hasn't taken root yet, whatever. So I'd like to lift him up in prayer. You know, that's, I mean, Lord willing, you know, he would lead him to join this group. You know, I kind of thought about it that I said, hey, you know, this is a perfect place for him. You know, and he told me, I asked him briefly there after lunch. I said, you know, I remember you talked to me about, you know, you saying you visited a certain church, but it was a Church of Christ. I mean, but he said he only went like 3 times. It was his wife who invited him a couple times, you know, at the time, and he just went. So, I mean, he really wasn't involved. So I found that encouraging. I was like, well, he's not really, you know, not really deep into those teachings. So, you know, he sounds like he's open. You know, I like that. So I'd like to pray about him. And I've got a nephew, you know, I want to pray for as well. My younger brother, his 5-year-old, his oldest boy, 5 years old, George is his name. You know, I talked to him yesterday, or no, it's Sunday. I was over there and visited. And so he was telling me briefly about, you know, he goes to a Catholic elementary school. And so he was telling me briefly about the Easter story. I was quite encouraged. You know, he told me, you know, I think he said like a friend of his told him, but he was saying, well, you know, Jesus, you know, this is the time where Jesus died on a cross, and then 3 days later he rose again. And I remember he said a few other things, and I thought, okay, you know, I mean, I was encouraged, thinking, well, the Catholic Church only knows, I mean, they don't really know Jesus, you know, Jesus, of course. But I was encouraged to see that he knew some of the basics. You know, it's like a stepping stone. You know, he knew, okay, he understands, I think, who a God is. But then, you know, I was encouraged to hear that, and I asked, did you say, you know, did you learn that, you know, Jesus died on the cross for all, you know, all the sins of mankind? And I think he was just like, yeah. But he was more encouraged about he was, you know, more vocal about just those, you know, those little small things. And I thought, wow, that's encouraging. You know, just that as a 5-year-old little boy, he just, you know, he was picking up on those things, you know. So I want to pray for his salvation. I want to pray that the Lord would actually, you know, kind of dawn on me. I thought, well, he's in a lot better standing, you know, than me with, you know, with most of my family. So they'd be a little more receptive, you know, to hear from him. You know, I pray that the Lord would visit him in his dreams, encourage him, you know, speak to him and reveal himself most of all. You know, I mean, the Catholic Church is only going to tell him so much, but I thought, you know, that'd be awesome if you would visit him in his dreams and reveal yourself to him. You know, so yeah, just go ahead and, agree with me in prayer for these few people here. Father, I just thank you for this this past weekend. I thank you for the things that are coming here, you know, for all of us. But I thank you for just encouraging me lately. I'm seeing you're moving in different areas of my life. You're moving at work. Lord, thank you for those people who thank you today for those who came from Tropicana, who were there for, I guess, the quarterly annual meeting to kind of, you know, talk about things with the company. You know, thank you for those people, Lord. I just I ask that you'd have your way and what was going on there. And Lord, you would just have your way in that whole situation there. But, you know, I thank you for what you're doing lately in people's hearts at work. And I pray for Dave, Lord. I thank you for what you're doing in his life. You know, you're really working there. You've changed him dramatically from what he once was before we started praying for him. And Lord, you're just, you know, you are continuing that work. And, Father, we just ask that, you know, you would lead him to this group. You know, he would, you know, it seems like he doesn't have a home church. You know, he doesn't have anywhere to go. And, you know, I really don't know if he's saved, Lord. I mean, you know, but I mean, I'm not familiar. I mean, if he is. So, Lord, we ask that you would just put it on his heart to either ask me or put it on my heart to say, hey, you know, are you interested? You know, just you could listen in. You don't really have to participate. I mean, you know, I know it's, you know, I mean, I've told you about these people, you know, so, I mean, Lord, whatever, you know, way you want to just work it out, Lord. And I pray that he'd be a part of this group, you know, where he'd receive prayer and encouragement, you know, just in general, Lord. So, you know, thank you for doing that. And Lord, I pray for my young, my nephew, George. I thank you, Lord, that you are, through at least the Catholic Church, you are teaching them those very basics, Lord. You know, even though it's not you, Jesus, that they know, you know, he's got an understanding. Yeah. There is a man named Jesus. He died, you know, 2000 some years ago on a cross for all our sins. You know, his Father is God in heaven. I remember you taught me those things, Lord, when I was a Catholic, but I really didn't know you. So, Father, we ask that, you know, Richard, Lord Jesus, would you visit him in his dreams? You know, would you reveal yourself to him, that little boy? Lord, you know, he's everyone else in our family is more receptive to him than he is me, you know, with everything that's happened to me. And so, Lord, I just I pray that you would use George. You would reveal yourself to him, Lord Jesus, on who you are, you know, what you did for him, and save him, bring him into the kingdom. But Lord, may that be the spark that just kind of ignites the revival in my family. Lord, use George in a mighty way to, you know, may he talk to his brothers about you. May he talk to the rest of the family, you know, my brother's wives, parents, you know, my parents, may he talk to others and, you know, may they be receptive, Lord, change their hearts, you know, prepare them, you know, for whatever you want to do through George. And just, you know, he's a talkative little boy. He's, you know, he's open to talk to everybody, it seems like, you know. So Lord, I just, I thank you for what you're going to do in that area. Thank you that you're going to use him in a mighty way, you know, as you prepare me, Lord, for whatever it is you have for me. You know, use him in a mighty way to plant seeds, Lord, you know, to, you know, to be a good witness, you know, to those around me, or, you know, those in my family who I haven't been the best witness to, Lord. Use George in a mighty way, save his soul, you know, use him to reach out to my brother and his wife and everybody else. Thank you for what you're doing there. Thank you for what you're going to do, Lord. And I just, Lord, I thank you for everyone else's family. I just want to lift this up in prayers that, Lord, that you're going to save everybody. Thank you for household salvation, that, you know, if we stand in faith, that, Lord, you're going to see it, you know, come to you know, fruition. We thank you that, you know, you don't want us to be without our families in heaven. You know, we thank you that you love us that much, that you want to see us happy together. And we thank you for the times that are coming to where, you know, everyone's going to get saved. We believe it by faith, Lord, and we thank you for this. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we come against that anxiety that Joe has experienced, and we command it to off of him right now in the name of Jesus. Frustration, you go to in Jesus' name. Any anger left, you go to in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, that Joe, all Joe's prayers will be answered and ours as well. We hook our faith up with him. We believe, Lord. Thank you, Father, for saving David and his cousin. And we just praise you, Father, for the work you're doing in Joe right now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you,
Lord.
Amen.
Lord, cool him off, too. In the name of Jesus. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead, Denny.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I want to pray for Dave. I would just pray for Dave for that cancer. We just rebuke the spirit of that in the name of Jesus. And we pray for a miracle of healing, that you would touch Dave in his liver and in his esophagus, both, Father, that you would quicken that healing to him, Father. And I thank you. We just pray that for some fellowship here for Joe at work, and that you do a mighty thing here. And we thank you, Father. And we pray for Rachel and Ryan, that they would get a hold of the gospel story themselves, Father, in that church there. And thank you, God, moving Joe's family. Even Sam, his other brother, just touch him, Father. Just pray you would bless him, God. Great stuff. Just trusting your word, Lord. Joe had a word that you were going to move in his family and save his family, and we see it starting to happen. So we thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right. Anyone else?
I'd like to lift up a friend. Oops, I'm sorry, Dan.
That's all right. Go ahead, Jordan.
I've got a pastor friend of mine in Long Island, New York. His name's Donald Havrilla. Just found out something's going on with his lungs. He's about 81 or something, and they're wondering if he has long to live or what's going on. He's having to have fluid drained out of his lungs every day, and it's one of my best friends is his son, and he just went home to help him out and get some stuff straightened out, and I'm praying with him and talking to him every day, and I'll probably have to leave the study tonight to go catch up with him and kind of give him some comfort and some scripture. We've been really digging in. but I've been encouraging their faith to lean on the covenant that they have with our living God. And I thank y'all for agreeing with me right now that Donald Havrilla is a covenant child of God, and he has son's benefits. He has the children's bread, which is healing, available, and we are believing that he is partaking of the children's bread, Father, that your goodness, that your mercy is triumphing over judgment, and that you're revealing any shortcomings, any part of his walk that he needs to give over to you and humble himself. And Father, I thank you that he will be satisfied with long life, and that by your stripes he was healed, and that you are revealing yourself in a new way to that whole family and that congregation at Southampton Full Gospel Church. And Father, I thank you that what the enemy means to destroy, you mean for good, and there's good things coming from our Father in heaven in this situation and in all of our lives. And I thank you for their friendship and for their wisdom, and I thank you for every good gift that you've put in us, Lord. And I appreciate my fellow brothers and sisters to lean in with me and just trust you and believe in your finished work, and thank you and rejoice and celebrate your goodness and your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We thank you for anointing George to give the right scriptures to his friend there. And Father, we thank you that both of them are going to be receptive to the truth of your promises to us, Lord. And in the name of Jesus, right now, we command that spirit of infirmity off of Donald Havrilla right now in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, that his lungs are healed right now in Jesus' name. And Father, when George speaks to him, that he will receive that and it will be done in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for all that you're doing in George's friend and his dad's life. In Jesus' name, that it would be something that would bring the whole family in a mighty way. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, George, we'll know when you're gone, what's going on. Thank you, brother. Anybody else? You know, I've been telling you about this group of Middle Easterners in this country that started out with one guy that an American down in Brazil had been talking to, and he came to Christ. He's a Muslim, came to Christ, a mighty man of God now. He was an evangelist from the word go. He had 3 people. Then he had 50 people. Then he had 200 people. Now he's got over 800 just in this little short while. Just a little short while. 800 people coming to see that have come to Christ because of this one man's obedience to the word. Now, this one man had been beat up, almost died because of Christ. He wouldn't deny Christ. But look what happened. He's got a big family now. He's got over 800 people in that congregation. Now, he's not the only one. He's the one that started it. And then it just kind of ballooned from there. And it's an amazing, amazing testimony. And you'll be hearing about it real soon, I'm sure. Real soon. It might come out in some of the magazines, like Voice of the Martyrs or something like that. Because there's people died over there because of that. Amen. Thank you, Lord, that the revival is going through that whole country and through that whole Middle Eastern section over there. Father, we just believe it's going to happen. Because you're behind it. Could nobody else but you be doing this, Lord? We thank you, Father, that it is. It's just going to fly through that country like a tornado and then just balloon out from there. And I thank you for it, Father. You prophesied this through a prophet years ago that it was starting this country and head over into other countries. And it's happening right here before our eyes. And Father, we just thank you so much for doing this mighty revival over there in that Muslim enclave and Gnostic Catholicism. And Lord, you're decimating the apostate church over there and bringing to life your true church in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. We sent them, they were sent the book, The Real Good News, and they're getting a hold of it. And I believe we're going to hear about signs and wonders coming from over there shortly. You know what happens when you learn about faith, don't you? Signs and wonders follow, don't they? And you're going to see it over there because those people over there are desperate for God's love. They are so desperate. They've been around hate all their life. They don't know anything about love. And once they get that love in their heart, glory be to God, ain't nothing going to stop this revival. Nothing going to stop it. I don't believe. Well, I know it's not because God's behind it. Praise God forevermore. Thank you, Jesus. God, you're so awesome. I just love you. We're going to see that over here in this country, too. I started saying something. I'm not going to curse it. In Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you that we're going to see this same thing over here. Thank you, Father. People think they're Christians over here, and they don't have a clue. Lord, and I know that you're going to shake them up and bring them in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Woo, glory be to God. Boy, that's something to dance about. Don't you think it? Don't you like it here? Man, I'd get up here and dance around here. If I knew somebody wouldn't talk about me, I'd do it. No, it don't bother me a bit, folks. If I wanted to, I'd do it. Praise God. All right. Anybody? Yeah, Diddy, go ahead, brother.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Okay. Yeah, that's why I'm so excited, because it was already prophesied. I didn't know that. What year was that, Denny?
In April of 2015.
Okay, 2015. I said 12, but 2015. Yeah. Okay. Praise God.
Yeah.
Amen. That was 4 years ago. Amen. And this just started back a few months ago, a couple of months ago, I guess. I don't remember. Okay, praise God. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else? Now you know. No problem. So when I speak in abstract terms, you'll know what I'm talking about. There's no problem, Denny. It ain't no big deal. We can erase that through modern electronics. You know what I'm talking about? We can do that. I'm that good. Just an eraser. All right, anybody else need prayer? Would like to give a testimony, praise report?
Michael, I'd like to give a praise report. You all were believing with me for a cousin of mine down south that got pushed out of a barn and was about dead. He was on life support, and they didn't have much brain function. We were believing for a better report, and he has gradually gotten stronger. He breathes on his own for a couple hours or more each day and can acknowledge people and move one hand, I think, a little grip in that. And he's a young boy, but he is coming around gradually. And, you know, we're going to keep believing, and there's a whole community that's seeing God move in that situation. So I wanted to let y'all know your prayers are being answered. Not that we had any doubt.
Amen. What's that? I can't remember that young man's name. What was it?
Well, it's slipping my own mind right now. I never met the boy. He's just, you know, in Georgia, everybody's your cousin.
Amen. Well, Lord, we just thank you for this young man. We thank you, Lord, for a full recovery, that he'll be able to tell about the glories of God to everybody around him. Father, we just praise you that you're going to make him an evangelist because of this. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, while he's in that bed or while he's up like he is, that you talk to him and speak to him and show him your glorious wonders, Lord. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Amen. Amen. Okay, anyone else? Got a testimony, praise report, or report? Yeah, Barry, go ahead.
I would like to have everybody pray about a fellow we know in Montana named Matt. It's been like 20 years ago that he was climbing up a mountain near Libby, Montana, and fell down a glacier and hit his head. And he nearly died at that point, but he's still alive, and they've got him on a feeding tube into his stomach, and he can't really talk. He can't move around. He's been bedridden for 20 years. I sure would like to see him get raised up out of that sick bed. He was a young man when that happened, and he's about twice as old now. Mm-hmm. And it's something that is always in the back of my mind thinking about him. He can think. I believe that he can think and he can hear, mm-hmm. because I have visited him a few times, and sometimes a few years in between visits. And last time I was there, it was a long time ago. He heard my voice and reacted. You know, he could tell that, you know, he started to cry. He recognized my voice, and I really have a soft spot in my heart for that whole situation. I sure would like to see him up and about.
Okay, let's pray for him. You say his name is Matt?
Matt.
Okay, just a second here. Okay. Lord, we lift up Matt to you. You know his situation. He's been sitting there feeding off of you all these many 20 years, Lord. And I'm asking you to have mercy on this boy. And I'm asking you, Father, to bring him up and to be able to express his love for you to everybody around him, Lord. And I'm asking that in the name of Jesus. And Lord, you have given us the authority over all the power of the enemy. You know, Lord, I remember that the saints said, Lord, that man through the roof so Jesus, he could get him close to Jesus, because he couldn't do it himself. And we're lifting up Matt to you in the same way. We're lowering him down to where you are, Lord, or bringing him up to where you are, Lord. And we were looking for a miracle here. In the name of Jesus, Matt, you wake up, and every particle of your body be healed in the name of Jesus. We declare it, decree it unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for your glory and your mercy and your grace upon Matt, who fell off that glacier years ago. And Father, I thank you for waking him up fully in every bodily part of his body in Jesus' name. I command every cell in his body to be healed in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that when he comes, when he's able to speak and tell of your glories, that people will listen all over the world to it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that Matt is awake. Matt, you come awake in the name of Jesus. I command that body to function as a brand new body in Jesus' name. I command that brain to function as a brand new brain. I command every organ in his body to work like it's supposed to, and every cell to be healed in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for it, because we know it's done in Jesus' name. Praise you, Father. Oh, glory, hallelujah. Lord, I just ask that you pray in the spirit through us for Matt, because we know he's coming too. Matt, you be healed in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for raising this young man in Jesus and restoring his youth to him as well, in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe it. Y'all believe it? I believe it in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah. Barry's going to be getting a call here in the next few days. In Jesus' name. Oh, my. I get so excited when I know these things are going to happen. Glory to God. Whew. You'll have to tell him. Now, look, you got to come on in and say hello to everybody when he comes too, because he's coming too. I believe it. Y'all believe it too. And if we all believe, it's happening, ain't it? Amen. I can see those little neon signs coming up to Jesus right now. He's looking up. Look at that. Somebody praying for Matt. Oh, Lord of God, I got to get them angels busy now. I'm telling you, that's going to happen. It's going to happen. Woo! Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord, for bringing Matt. Bringing Matt. Fell down a glacier. Lord, they just teach that boy not to go up on no side of a glacier no more. That's cold air anyway. Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Glory be to God. I just praise you, Father, for Matt's recovery. I just thank you, Lord, because I know it's happening. Thank you, Jesus. Ooh, my. Oh, ooh, my Jesus. My Lord and my God. I bet iPad Judy got something to say. What you got, gal?
Well, I got a really good testimony. You know,
get out of here, do you?
Yeah, when I said yes about the tree falling on my car, well, I had this real big dent on the roof, and right now I don't have the dent on my roof because God has healed the top of my car. So I just want to thank him and praise him. So, Lord, thank you so much for healing my car, but also don't forget about the other dents. But amen. I thank you, Lord, for your doing it, keeping me in the rest, and I'm not worried about a thing because it's your car, and amen. You're going to take care of it. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Now, Judy, before you go, wasn't that a significant dent in your car?
Oh, yeah, it was a good dent.
That was a nice size one, too.
Yeah.
She's got before and after photos. If y'all ever come down here, she'll make sure you see it. I guarantee you.
Yeah, I've been sending them to everybody.
Amen.
Let's see. Yeah, it was a deep dent, and it's gone. It's so cool.
That's good. Yeah, that tree laid across that car, and I said, my goodness. And then the lady that owned the place there paid for her back window. And then the Lord just went ahead and fixed it for her. He's got a body shop up there. Y'all know that, don't you?
Well,
yeah, like sometimes.
Yeah.
And it don't cost nothing either, does it, Judy?
Yeah.
It don't cost a thing when God does it. Praise God.
Yeah, I just feel like he said the rest, and he's going to take care of it. So that's what I'm doing.
Yeah, I remember that day that it happened. You said, well, I'm just in the rest. I'm just at ease with it. I'm at peace with it. So, yeah. And then God did a miracle, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
He did a miracle. So awesome. Praise God.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Joseph Manning. Okay. All right. Anybody else got a good testimony or a praise report or would like to just pray about something? Okay, Joe, go ahead.
I think I told a few people who were here, was it Saturday night? Michael, I told about that, God took away the rain there at my job on Friday. Or, well, yeah, I think it was. I was a member for those who were here Saturday. But then Sunday morning, something else happened. You know, it's pretty powerful. I've seen things like this. For those who weren't there Saturday night, I Friday morning, you know, it kind of started the day on a so-so note, but it was I remember walking outside, going to my car in the morning, and it was, starting to blow pretty hard. I mean, outside, it was about 70 degrees. And about a 2 or so hours later there at work, we started getting fast-moving dark clouds. You know, they were moving basically, I guess, north to southeast. And there were some low-hanging ones, like, you know, the ones you see that were, you know, when the tornadoes formed. Not very big, but, I mean, if I was tall enough, I could have reached up and grabbed them, but it was, they were pretty low. And so I remember just, you know, about several minutes later, coming back from, you know, inside to outside to do something, you know, in the lot outside where I work. And, we had this heavy rain just start, like for the next 30, 40 minutes or so. It just, it looked like monsoon, like those fast moving rain side to side. And I remember just before, as I was outside watching these clouds, I just began to rebuke them in Jesus' name. You know, I said, Lord, take these things and just move them on out of here and stop the rain, because the rain began to come, you know, too, really heavily. And about 30 minutes later, I mean, as I was just praising the Lord, I had a song in my heart, and I was just thanking the Lord for what he was doing there. You know, I mean, I didn't speak contrary. I mean, that was the big thing, I think, I remember. Don't speak contrary to it. Just speak, you know, speak it. Remain, you know, I mean, continually speaking, you know, believing. And 30 minutes later or so, I just, you know, I went back outside, and the rain stopped. I mean, you know, there were still clouds. It was a little cold out, but, I mean, the clouds are way up in the air. No sign of any dark clouds or nothing like that. It just ceased, you know, and I thought, amen. But then Sunday, I was headed to my little brother's house, you know, to visit my family. You know, and it was about the same, you know, dark clouds. I mean, I could see off in the distance some really heavy, dark, you know, thick, dark clouds. And I remember just saying, Lord, I thank you for the sunshine. You know, thank you for the sunshine. Thank you for stopping the rain. And as I got to his house, I felt the rain. I mean, I think it dropped down in the 40s or something like that, you know, and it was really cold. It was blowing somewhat hard enough, but I went inside, and about 30 or so minutes later, it looked like I looked out the back of his house, you know, and he's got a little hill that goes down, and there's some trees that kind of separate him and the other neighbor. And I looked at it, it's like a mile around us. He lives back in a little subdivision. It was just sunshine everywhere. And I looked in the far back about a mile away, and I see dark clouds everywhere. And it felt like a mile around. I just see sunshine. I'm looking around. And I'm like, I told my nephew, George, I said, look, George, God brought the sunshine. And he was like, yeah. But I just see the sun for like almost a mile. And I thought, wow, we do have authority over the weather. So, just be encouraged, folks. I mean, if you believe it, like how many times have we, have you said it, Michael, David, others, if you believe it, you'll see it, you know, and it was powerful.
So. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Uh-oh. Judy's got another one. Go ahead, girl. Okay.
Same thing. When Joe was talking about the clouds, we did the same thing on Sunday. I was sitting out on my deck, and it was really dark, and I was just rebuking those clouds, and they went away. And then Sue did.
I was at the laundromat, which is, right in town, Madisonville. And I was at the laundromat, and I looked to the west, and there was these dark, dark, bluish black clouds, and the sky just looked real dark. And I felt a little bit of drops and stuff, and I just rebuked it, and then it went away, and I started seeing white clouds and the blue sky. So that was kind of neat. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. We did that Sunday afternoon. Me and Dave were sitting out on the porch.
Yeah.
We were sitting out on the front porch, and that big old blue cloud came over, and we said, no, we done prayed you out of here earlier this morning. You got to go. And it never did. The sun kept on shining. That thing went west of us. Praise God. It's about like y'all did, I guess. Maybe y'all prayed it off, and we just hung on to it.
What morning was that? Was that Sunday morning when we got together, and it was getting, the wind was blowing? Was that Sunday morning?
I think.
And yeah. And it stopped just like that.
Yep. We prayed that wind to stop because it was coming up real strong.
Yeah,
he said, "In the name of Jesus, stop wind. Peace be still."
Yeah, I remember.
Just almost immediately, it stopped. That's authority. The Lord has given us this authority.
Yeah.
Praise God. Amen.
Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Everybody's finding it out too, and that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank y'all. Yeah, Willie, go ahead.
Yeah, it was just on me yesterday, you know. The Lord got on me a little bit after Saturday. And I don't know if I offended anybody Saturday. And so I just wanted to apologize for offending anybody. The Lord just got on me about it, you know. And I felt if I don't say something, I don't, you know, apologize. He just been on me. So if there's anyone I offended Saturday, I want to apologize for it. You know, I think maybe the Lord has me saying it because, you know, my own heart, you know, and what was in my own heart and sometimes when I talk. But yeah, I just wanted to do that, you know, because he didn't let it go anywhere. You know, how you try to shake something off and you're just like, you know, maybe it's not from the Lord and you try to shake it off, but it didn't go anywhere, you know. And so if there's anybody I offended Saturday out, I just want to apologize.
Well, I can safely say it wasn't me, but I appreciate you coming on and saying that. The Lord convicted you. That's a good thing. I don't know of anything you said to offend me or anyone else, but that's, you know, I don't know. But don't do it again, Willie. I'm just kidding you, Willie. Shake it off, brother. It's done. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just ask that you touch Willie. Give Willie, fill him up, Lord. Let your glory fall upon him, your anointing. Give him a fresh anointing, Father, in the name of Jesus. I ask that in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for Willie. He's such a blessing to this conference call, and we thank you, Lord, for all that he does, even around him. And Lord, we just ask and we pray that you keep him in your stead. Keep him where you want him, Lord, and do all the things through him that he will allow you to do, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Father. All right, anybody else? Yeah, Debbie.
Okay, I feel like I just should bring this up because it's been on my heart ever since Joe started sharing this for the first time. We are praying for boldness. Am I on? Can you hear me?
You are. Okay. Yes, yes. Go ahead.
Thank you.
I had already muted.
when Joe was asking for wanting to pray for boldness, I felt the same for me, and I didn't want to say anything, and I just kind of been wondering if that's something we should just maybe like to talk about, whoever wants to, needs boldness. I have a question as far as boldness goes and how we go about being bold, or to wait on a move of God for boldness, or that's always my question when I feel I want to say something to somebody. And I always wonder if it's just me or is it really God, or are we to wait for a fall of the Spirit upon us where everyone's being bold, you know? So I just really wonder about that. I guess probably need prayer too for boldness. And just thought maybe, I wonder what other people thought about that as far as about boldness.
Yeah, we can talk about that. Absolutely. That's a good thing to talk about.
I looked up some scriptures on it, and the best ones I could see are, they're using the word courageous.
Okay. Not
boldness, but and some of them, about three of them. So there's a 1 Corinthians 16:13 is remain alert, keep standing firm in your faith, keep on being courageous and strong. And the one in Joshua 1:9, I've commanded you, haven't I, be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid or discouraged because the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And Psalm 27:14, wait on the Lord, be courageous and he will strengthen your heart. Wait on the Lord. It was all about coming boldly before the throne of grace. So he wants us to be courageous, but then I always still just question a move of God. You know what I'm saying? Is there a move of God for this boldness? Or?
Yeah, he said to ask, to seek, and to knock.
Yeah.
If you need it. Go ahead, Willie. Willie's got some he'd like to impart to you.
I think our greatest boldness comes from humility. You know, I find it when I'm not thinking about myself, you know, and I'm just thinking about that other person, you know, it for me, it's like a boldness, but a desire to want to tell them the truth. I don't know if it's so much as of power all the time than it is humility. You know, Christ said, I can do nothing of myself, you know. I have not come in my own name. That's all I got to say about it. I think the boldness is part of not seeing yourself.
Right. Amen. Yes. I just said, you know, one day last week, I had this boldness come me to go to pray for somebody who I saw needed prayer, a man who was crippled and on crutches, and it just so struck me, and I did stop him and ask if I could pray for him, and I don't do that very often. So that's why I wonder, why it did it then, but why don't I do this all the time? Or, you know, so.
You pray in the Spirit a lot, Debbie. Anytime you get a strong urge to do something, go ahead and do it.
Mm-hmm.
Just go ahead and do it. I had some issues last night that I was struggling, you know, and finally, you know, the Lord gave me an out to do it, and I did it, and it blessed folks so good. That's what you do. You just do what he says to do because you don't want your flesh to get involved. You're right, but it's better to error on the side of boldness than not do something that the Lord had asked you to do. Yeah, Missy.
Debbie, there's been times when, you know, I mean, sometimes I feel like I'm not bold enough either, but, you know, just pray, you know, that the Lord give you the boldness when he wants you to, you know, speak up or go and pray for someone, like you said. But like there have been times when, you know, the Lord just wouldn't let me go on something, you know, it's just like, it's almost like, is that you, Lord? You know, is this you? And I knew if I didn't speak up, if I didn't do whatever it was, that I was going to regret it, you know, mm-hmm. that I was, you know, it was to the point where I knew that it was the Lord. You know, it's like you like wait and you wait, and it's just like this. I don't want to use the word nagging because that sounds bad, but it's just this feeling that just won't let go of you, mm-hmm. and until you do it, you just know that you have to.
Yeah, but you don't want to miss out on the glory either, do you?
Right.
You know, but you're kind of tugging there on both of them. You know, flesh and the spirit, both are tugging to see which one's gonna win out. You know, and you finally. I'm sorry to interrupt you, Missy, but I had to get this out. Glory to God. but when you do it, and that boldness overtakes whatever flesh is trying to take over, because the flesh don't want you to do what God wants you to do.
Yeah.
And if it's a good thing, do it. And then worry about the consequences. That's no consequences. You're going to see a miracle. I'll tell you something that God had me do one time, Debbie, and this is just for everybody too. He told me, he said, I want you to go up to National Home Center. I got somebody I want you to pray for. So I'm tooling along. I go on up there, and it's probably 15 miles from the house. And I go up there, and I park in my truck. And here comes this guy out in a wheelchair. He said, I want you to go pray for him. I said, okay, hey, no problem. You know, I've done that before. It was no big deal. And so I went over there, and I said, you know, I sure would like to pray for you. I believe God wants to do something in your life. He said, get your hands off of me and get away from me. I don't want nothing to do with you. I said, oh, my goodness. So I went like a dog with his tail tucked between his legs back to my truck, and I'm whimpering and crying to the Lord, you know, Lord, you had me come all the way up here to pray for a man that don't even like you. What'd you do that for? You know, I'm trying to accuse God. He said, I wanted to give him one more chance.
Oh, boy.
Wanted to give him one more chance because he's fixing to go. And you are who I chose. And I just wanted to also see if you'd be obedient. I said, yeah, I don't mind doing what you want me to do, but don't scare me like that no more. I don't like that. That's bad. But sometimes that happens. So don't worry about if God doesn't heed them or they don't want what you have to offer from God. Because it's him. It's always him.
Well, Debbie, you know, one time, talk about boldness, and well, it wasn't, I didn't feel like I had the boldness, but when I finally went and did it, I did have the boldness. But I was in walking over at Keyfauver Park, and long story short, there's a park worker there having a problem with his chainsaw, and the Lord wanted me to go over there and pray that this chainsaw start. Long story short, it did. And, you know, I did with the Lord, you know, and I think the guy thought I was half nuts, you know, or something or whatever. He didn't know quite what to think. He was a Christian. At least he said he was, you know. But anyway, talk about, I'm like, Lord, I'm a woman and this is a man. And I'm like thinking, oh my gosh, you know. I was like thinking this guy's ego, you know. But it's just like, that was like, oh my gosh, that was totally unreal, but it was cool.
What did you say to him? Because I remember. Go ahead.
I just I saw him from the other side of the lake, and I saw someone and I knew he was having problems starting something. I couldn't tell what it was. And I got up close and I saw he was trying to start a chainsaw. And I was just like watching and I knew the Lord was telling me to go over there. And I almost walked by and I couldn't. I might walk by just a little bit past him, and I couldn't. I knew I had to go over there. And I said, I don't remember exactly what I said. I said to him, I said, you having problems with getting your chainsaw started or something like that? And he said, yeah. I said, do you believe God can fix that? God can heal that? And he looks at me and he says, yeah. And I said, well, you know, come over here and, you know, put your hand on it with me, you know. And he's like, man, you go ahead. Oh my gosh. And so I at that time he had it in his truck, and it's coming back to me. And I said, well, Lord, he can't get this started, and he doesn't want to have to go back to the shop and get another chainsaw, because he was kind of like mumbling something about having to go back to the shop and get another chainsaw. And so, you know, I said, you know, Lord, I know you can fix this, heal it, whatever. And I just commanded it to be fixed, to start up and whatever. And so he kind of slowly moseyed over and got it back out of the bed of the truck and pulled it out. Cranked it like maybe twice. The first time it didn't do anything. The second time it sputtered a little. And then I think it was the third time it started up. And I'm like, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
It was unreal. I was like, Lord, you're too cool. And you know, at the time, I was having issues with, this is back before the Lord healed me from arthritis. And I remember I was out moseying along trying to walk the best I could because one of my knees was really, really giving me a problem. And that just so encouraged me and boosted my faith. I was just like, wow. And I just went, and then when I, you know, walked away and started walking, I just like praising the Lord and tears were rolling up in my eyes. And I was just like, I was on cloud nine.
Amen. I remember when that happened.
Hallelujah.
That's awesome. Thank you, Lord. I can imagine what that guy told his wife. You don't believe this crazy woman I saw out there at the park.
No, he probably didn't even tell her. Probably too embarrassed.
He said, this lady come by then, prayed for my soul. I couldn't get it. I've been sitting there pulling on that thing for a half hour. And she come right in, commanded that chainsaw to be healed in Jesus' name. Yeah. And the thing started.
Awesome, Missy.
What did you say, Debbie?
Pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Awesome testimony.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
I like to kind of pray then for boldness for all of us and me. Okay. So Lord, I pray, God, that you just help us to be courageous. You tell us in the word to be bold and to be courageous, Lord. So I just pray that you would help us to be courageous in every instance that we have, God, that you are within us, God, and it's your power, not our own, Lord. I pray that you'll forgive us for the fear of man. Forgive me for the fear of man, Lord. And, maybe even for any unbelief, God, in the name of Jesus, we know that all power comes from you, God, and that we know that we receive what we ask from you for somebody, Lord. And I even pray for that man that I prayed for last week, God. I just, I know that I couldn't walk away without praying for him because I didn't want to keep him crippled the rest of his life. So, Lord, I just believe you're touching him and that he's remembering that, Lord. And so I just pray, God, that you would help us, each one of us, in our own wherever we're at each day, and your believers all over, God, that we just have miracles going on, God, because of the boldness and the courage of your people, Father. Just begin to do a wonderful work in each of us, Lord, to be more bold in speaking up for you, Lord, and praying for people, and help me, Lord, in this area of boldness, God, to be used for you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we thank you, God. Amen.
Amen. I command the fear of man off of everybody here, that boldness would come through in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, that you've given us bold faith right now to believe that whoever we pray for, as you instruct us, Lord, that they're going to get healed. And it doesn't make any difference. If it doesn't happen then, it's going to happen tomorrow. And if it don't happen tomorrow, it'll happen the next day. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord. I remember the time, Lord, when I was in that Baptist church and this kid in a wheelchair came in there and they mocked me for wanting to pray for him. I said, I'm going to pray for him. Y'all can do whatever you want to. And I pulled him up out of that wheelchair and walked around in front of the whole congregation with this young man and put him back in his wheelchair. He didn't walk that day. He didn't walk the next day. But he walked about a few weeks later. We heard about him coming out of that wheelchair. And Father, it makes no difference as long as we believe and you give us the boldness to pray for somebody. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. And Lord, I thank you that boldness is in every one of us right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, I just praise you for putting that in all of us. When you instruct us to pray for somebody, not to even hesitate. I'm gone. I'm out of here. I'm going to like a shot rocket, man. I'm going to go pray for them. In Jesus' name. And we will see miracles immediately. People coming out of wheelchairs. Deaf ears will hear. Blind eyes will see. Terminal cancers will be healed. And I'm just thanking you, Father, that this group right here has got total boldness and great faith in your promises. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, all we have to do now is receive, right? We just receive that because it's been prayed, it's been out there, and now all we do is receive. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God.
Father, we thank you for the signs and wonders that follow those that believe. We thank you even now for the signs and wonders that you will honor our faith. And thank you, God, that these are your works, Father, your works done through us. So we thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Father, I thank you for our right standing with you by the work of Jesus and his desire to make us righteous, that the righteous are bold as a lion. And Father, I just thank you for that righteousness that we walk in and that we won't forget why we are righteous, because of our King that is with us always, and that when we step out and put him on the spot, he covers the spot. It don't matter what it is. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. That's right. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Father. Ooh, my. Anybody else? I feel the Spirit working in here. Yeah, Missy. I'll get you in a minute, Sue.
Let Sue go first. I'll go after her.
Okay, Sue, go ahead.
Okay, I was just wanting to read a couple of scriptures about boldness. Okay, Acts 4, 29 to 31. And now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that your bondservants may speak your word with all confidence, which you could put in place boldness, because that's the same.
A-U-G has boldness.
While you extend your hand to heal, and signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. And another one that relates to boldness is Ephesians 6. And this is Paul. He says, he's speaking Ephesians 6. And pray on my behalf. This is 19, verse 19. And pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador to in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So, Lord, I thank you, Father, that your word says that we can be granted boldness to do your signs and wonders and whatever you want to speak the gospel. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
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 Amen. Thank you, Sue. All right, Missy.
Well, speaking of boldness, the Lord put something in me that he wanted me to share with you, Michael. Encouragement. I checked with the Lord forwards and backwards and everything, and I'm like, Lord, you know, was this you that put this in my heart to say? And he just kept giving me yes, you know. Anyway, I was reading Absolute Surrender. I was reading that book today. And after I got done reading the chapter, I was, you know, praying about what I had read and everything. And and you came to my mind, Michael, and the Lord brought to my memory about when we were talking one time here on the outreach about you sharing some of Andrew Murray's stuff. And, you know, a couple of us, you know, we said that, you know, sometimes his wording and his wordiness is hard to understand, and that it was a little fast, you know, you're reading it a little fast. And that came to my mind, and the Lord put it in my heart to let you know that you have blessed many of us by sharing Andrew Murray's material. And I felt like he showed me that you were discouraged when we had said that, and to not be discouraged, because you've blessed many of us. And I'm sure even, you know, people, you know, that don't get on the outreach that hear the and well, you shared it on the Bible study, people that you're not even aware of, but anyway, not to ever feel inadequate in your ministry, because you have the Spirit of God, you have the Lord Jesus Christ in you, and His Spirit is a never ending supply, and you know that you can always ask for more, ask for an infilling, and never to feel inadequate, because you've blessed us all. You're a good brother to us all, you're a good friend to us all, and I know it's I'm not speaking just for me, I'm speaking for every one of us, and you've blessed us all very much. And and I would like to speak this blessing over you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. And Lord, I just ask you, and I thank you and I praise you for giving us a shepherd, a brother, with the love, given him the love in his heart that He has had for all of us, Lord, and I just praise you and thank you. And I just ask you to fill us all up more and more with your love every day, the Spirit of your love, Lord, in our hearts for all, especially you, Lord. And if we love you, we will love each other. And I asked the Lord for a random verse for you, and He gave me Ezekiel 37, verse 25. And in context, it's 15 the whole way to 28. And my finger landed on the name Jacob. But anyway, I don't feel to read that, but, you know, but you can go back and read that later. Anyway, so the Lord just wanted me to share that.
Thank you, Missy. I know how hard it was for you to get that out, and I appreciate it. I really do. Thank you so much.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord put it in my heart, and thank you, Lord. I've never done anything like that before, so that was something new to me, and that took a boldness like we're talking about. So praise you, Lord. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you so much. You don't know how much that meant to me for you to say that. Thank you so much. And everybody. All right. Okay. Let's get out of this particular subject and go on to something else.
can I just say a prayer first?
Yeah.
in this. So Lord, just I ask that you help us in this boldness with one another, Lord, to encourage each other, God, and to be a blessing to one another, Lord, to show love in a special way, Lord, to not be timid with one another, but to be moved by your Spirit and to act on it, Lord. We would encourage each other unto good works, Lord, and cause each other to be zealous for good works, Lord, and to continue on in you in a deeper way, Lord. Thank you for that among your people, God, and among us here, Lord, in our fellowships and on this, Lord, and whatever we engage with other believers, God, you would just give us boldness with each other, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. I love y'all. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, Pat.
Sorry about that. Had to unmute myself. I woke up this morning with the thought of the word procrastination in my mind, and as I was showering, I was thinking about that. Excuse me. And I went to, when I got down to my computer, I went to the Bible, the only verse I could think of related to procrastination or indecision. And it was in Joshua 24:15, where, actually, I'll just see where it's in 24:14. I just want to read it. It said, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And a couple of things that hit me. One, the thing that hit me as I was thinking about it, is that I tend to, if I have a lack of clarity related to God's word, what it means, or the application of, you know, how I'm supposed to walk, how I'm supposed to apply a specific truth or whatever, and if there's a certain lack of clarity or maybe confusion or whatever there, I tend to just stop and hesitate and ride with it, just rest and ride and just let it go until something happens, something develops, and I might start thinking about it again or whatever. And unfortunately, I think that the Lord has shown me that in these areas of lack of clarity or indecision or a clear direction or whatever, that I need to take a proactive stance and seek the Lord specifically about that particular thing, that whether it's a lack of understanding or how some truth functions with another, or is simply just a fear of not wanting to step out, or the boldness that we're talking about tonight. And what the thought that came to me is as I'm talking about this is there are certain animals when they are startled, like rabbits, that if you jump up on them and startle them, they freeze right in place. They just freeze, and their eyes get that big, and they just stop and freeze. And it's like, that's what I think fear does in a really subtle sense in our lives. If there's anxiety or fear or anticipation or lack of clarity or understanding, or there's indecision or whatever it would be. Well, that's a beautiful picture, Barry. Barry and Marilyn, that, just looking at that, looks like Mount Hood. But
it is Mount Hood.
Amen.
I took that picture. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I took that picture from the parking lot of the hardware store in White Salmon, Washington.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah, thank you.
I used to ski that mountain in the 70s. It's beautiful up there.
Is that snow on there?
It's really hard to ski without snow.
We can send you some, Michael.
What?
We can send you some of that snow. I'll run over there and get some.
Yeah, do that.
It's okay. It's up there year round, so we can.
Is it?
Oh, oh yeah. My goodness.
If people live up there?
No.
Praise God. I'm sorry, Pat. Go ahead, brother. I just had to get that in there.
Well, I had to see that picture that stopped me in my tracks. It was that indecision, halting between two. So anyway, the thing that hit me, of course, was that, and what Joshua said there was, and for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And there was a specific stance of leadership and faith and command and faith speaking that word, that not only for me, but my house, we will serve the Lord. And that just, it hit me in that, I guess, that position or standing in the faith and in the authority that God has given us as fathers and or husbands and leaders of our family, etc., that we can proclaim that and stand in faith on that. And so that was kind of the side thing that that I saw this morning. But as I was going from that, one of the things that you mentioned, or the subject came up a few weeks ago, a few meetings ago, related to the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and I asked the Lord to that if there's any kind of indecision or a lack of understanding or clarity there or something that is creating in me a hesitation or whatever the ramifications of believing something that is not true or being deceived or ignorant about certain aspects of God's word, that to clear it up and to bring me clarity in that. And actually, I'm still working through that process to see where that goes. But I just wanted to, I think the thing that hit me today was Joshua, the verse in Joshua about that hesitation. And it just seemed to fit in with the proclaiming of the boldness, receiving that boldness from God to step out and to walk in what he's shown us, and to step out and walk. And if you have that thought of talking with somebody, step out and walk and let the Spirit lead you and go where it goes. Go where the Spirit goes. Go where the conversation goes, and just trust him that he is supplying what you need, even in that place of weakness. I know there's something about the fact that you don't want to start on a path that you're not sure where the destination is or where the end of that is. And I think there's a certain thing in me that that I tend to hesitate on that. And I just wanted to leave with one other scripture that the Lord gave me, and that is, I didn't write it down. It's in John. Bear with me here. Sorry about that. Here it is. And so part of my study and looking into the Spirit, Father, the Son, the Spirit, took me over to John 14:26, and it says, "When the Comforter, even the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." And that receiving of the Holy Spirit, that receiving of the peace that only God, only the Lord can give you, I just felt the need to receive that peace, receive that peace which passes all understanding, passes all questions, that peace of resting in his secure hand. So I guess I'm still in the midst of seeking and allowing these things to come out and allowing God to work these things in. But I just thought I would share the few. It just seemed like speaking about boldness and asking God for boldness and peace, and it just seemed to all fit together with me. But anyway, that's all I wanted to share.
Thank you, Pat. Yeah, I thought it fit in good. And then, okay, anybody else? I don't know what else to say. Uh-oh. I don't know, Missy. Well, go ahead.
Here goes boldness again. One thing that I noticed earlier, and I wanted to do, in the name of Jesus, I command that redness out of Michael's eye and it to be cleared up and completely healed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
You noticed that? Oh my, yeah. Well, that happened last night. I don't know. I'm gonna have to get a hold of that demon.
Yeah. Well, hey, get a hold of him for me too, because you remember that happened to my eye.
Yeah, I know. It might have been because I said something bad about yours. I don't know. I had to repent. I repented and waiting on it to clear up. No, I don't know. It happened. I don't know what happened to it. Yeah, Joe. Oh, I thought you had your hand. Okay. All right. Okay. Larry, is that you? Larry Bowers, how you doing, brother? Okay, you got to unmute yourself. Hi, Larry. Okay. All right. Anyone else got something they'd like to share?
Michael, I just got a question. This is a technical question. Do you have a Mac, Apple computer?
What's that?
Oh, never mind.
Yeah, I got an iMac pad.
Well, I know this is a kind of a technical question. How do we raise our hand on, I don't see any place on this screen that it says you can raise your hand other than me just raising my
hand. Well, you go over to somewhere. I really can't tell you because I've never had to raise my hand, you know. I don't know. Somebody else will have.
Does anybody else have I don't know if it's because I'm looking at it. I'm looking at it over the Zoom application on my Mac. But I don't.
Participants icon there.
Say that again.
Participants.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Okay, go there.
Oh, I got it. I see it. Okay.
Where is it?
You go to participants, and when you click on it, it gives you mark, mute me, or raise hand. You just click on raise hand. When you want to go down with it, you go the opposite way.
Mine don't say that.
It's at the bottom.
It comes up with in the chat portion kind of section of your screen there. And you can see all the participants in the in up above in the room here. And then right.
Well, mine's different, I guess, because I don't have to raise my hand. I guess, I don't know. Mine didn't have it.
Well, that's fine. I just wanted to.
Yeah.
I couldn't figure out where. Everybody else is raising their hand, but I have to do this number.
Well, most of the time I can say that a lot quicker than I can the other. Because I'm used to it, I guess.
All right.
Okay. All right. Anybody else? If anybody has someone that is addicted to drugs or addicted to anything, Missy sent us a link. Could you put that in the chat, Missy, for anybody that would like to send that to someone? Because it's an awesome testimony of, I guess, as a young minister of some sort that got hooked up into drugs and other things and just kept falling back into it. And it's a wonderful testimony. Go ahead and tell us a little bit about it, Missy.
What did you say, Michael?
I said, do you mind giving us a little synopsis of what this...
Well, here this guy, and he came to the Lord, I think he said in 2010, but he never dealt with his addictions and his wounds in his heart. And he had sexual addictions, drug addictions, and all kinds of stuff. And he has his own channel.
Alcohol?
Yeah, alcohol. And he has his own channel. And he said he made about $500,000 in so many years. And he doesn't have anything to show for it through his YouTube channel. And I was just like, wow. When I was just stunned by his testimony and the courage. Talk about boldness. I don't know if you call that boldness. It was courage that the Lord gave him to be able to just confess it all and, you know, and everything. And he's working on going to rehab. But you all have to listen to it. It was just like, I was listening to it and I was half welling up and praying in the spirit off and on, you know, just, I was like, wow. So yeah, I'll have to, I'll put that in the link in the.
Amen. What he was doing, he was giving a full confession. He had really just kind of glossed things over. And The only thing that you need to know is he sounds like a Baptist, so I don't know if that's the truth or not, but he's going to a rehab, kind of like AA, but it's a Christian rehab, and he didn't say anything about deliverance ministry. All of us know that God can do it that quick when you surrender your life to the Lord. He can get rid of the addiction. He can get rid of this or whatever it is, you know. And these Christian rehab things, what like a lot of them do, a lot of them are deliverance ministries, and that's good. But a lot of them are just going through the AA thing, where they teach you to be strong, you know, lift yourself up by your bootstraps and da-da-da-da-da, you know. So just beware of that. What I liked about it was the guy's sincerity to confess all his sins. And he just got down and just laid it all out, because apparently he was very popular on the YouTube channel that he had, and had made $500,000 in like 5 years or 6 years or something like that. And he said, "5 years." He said I was getting anywhere from $10,000 to $15,000 a month, folks. But I was living a lie. He said, I was living a lie. And you just listen to it. She put it up there. And it's really a testimony that a lot of people need to see, because they're living a lie when they think that they're. He said, I'd go for months. I mean, Missy, 5 to 8 months at a time. I believe it's what he said, right?
You mean clean, and then he'd fall back into it or something? Yeah. Yeah, something like that, yeah.
He did that a number of times.
And I'm glad you brought that up, because I had wanted to bring him up for prayer. You know, I think it'd be great for us to pray for him, if you could pray for him, Michael, because, you know, that was my thought. I was wondering if they were going to have deliverance or whatever, and ministry or whatever, and just, we can just pray that is made available to him, because I think he said it's a 9-month rehab.
Yeah.
Anyway, so you pray for him.
What, you remember what his name was?
Mario.
Okay. Mario. Well, Father, we lift up Mario to you. Lord, we thank you for his full confession of his sins. You said when we confess our sins to one another, that we're cleansed, Lord. And I thank you for Mario's confession, his complete confession. He laid it out there. He bared his soul. He's a broken man. And, Father, I know when someone gets broken that you can use them mightily. And you humble them. And he's been humbled. And, Father, I thank you for putting the glory of God on him. And Lord, I ask and I pray that you give him the truth about deliverance, that it can happen in a second. He doesn't have to wait 9 months. All he has to do is just lay it on the altar, give it to you, and just rest in the knowledge that it's done. And Father, I thank you for giving him that knowledge, giving him that supernatural knowledge, that you would run somebody across from him, across to him, that understands the truth of the gospel. And Father, I praise you that through this whole ordeal he's going through, that a lot of people's lives are going to be affected by this humbling of Mario and this brokenness of Mario, because you know when you get down and they can't do anything but cry out to you, Father, that's when you like to show yourself strong. And I know you're going to show yourself strong in Mario, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for using this man in a mighty way in the years to come. In Jesus' name, amen. Anybody else want to pray? Amen. Okay, I believe it's done. Y'all believe it's done? Yeah, thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, I want to pray.
Okay.
Father, his testimony, he was really hard on himself, and I just pray against that spirit of condemnation and rejection. I ask you to heal his heart wounds. He mentioned his father, the Lord, And he didn't seem like he had any unforgiveness towards his father, Lord. And I praise you and thank you for that. And if he does have any bitterness or anger towards anyone, Lord, I just heal his heart, Lord. I ask him in Jesus' name completely of all wounds, Lord, that not just ones, Lord, that has caused him to have these addictions and all, Lord, but I just ask you to heal all the wounds of his heart and just put joy and peace in his heart, Lord. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for Mario. Amen. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, I ask that you get that film in all of these places where they have addiction problems so that they can see what they need to do. They need to confess all of their sin. Thank you, Father. Amen. Okay. Anybody else? Hey, Joe DeBrazzi. I have a question. Could you give us a synopsis of that, Ken?
Basically, it's you know, we opened up about the country over in the Middle East. You know that you were talking about. Oh, yeah. So I think Denny, you said the prophecy revival will spread from that country to everywhere else.
Well, to another country.
Another country, because basically these prophecies from Kim Clement are from like 2010 to about 2015. There were like three or four in there, but he was in Paris, France. You know, we know yesterday what happened in Paris, France. And, you know, if you understand with Islam, I mean, literally almost taking over Europe, France is one of those big countries. So it talks about how that is like God's judgment upon France, you know, and he mentions two other countries, but it's a beginning of the coming, you know, revival within, you know, Europe. So, I mean, basically, it's just kind of, I saw these prophecies, I thought, wow, you know, just with what happened yesterday. And the thing that came to mind for me was in Acts 7:48, where Stephen's talking to the Sanhedrin, you know, and he mentions the verse I remember David talking about it, you know, it's like the supposed third temple they say that's going to be built. But, you know, we know that God does not dwell in the temples made with man's hands. So that's the first thing that came to mind when I saw the, you know, about the church in Notre Dame. But basically, this seems like a precursor, as what Kim Clement is saying, to revival. You know, God has been dealing with France. He's been dealing with these two other countries that, you know, you hear about. But he's been dealing with these countries that, you know, he said there's going to be a revival in these countries. You know, and of course, we know revival's coming. It's going to be worldwide. So this is just talking about Paris, France. Or you know, the country of France. So, yeah.
Amen. Yep, I believe that. I believe there's going to be the Lord said he's going to chasten his church first.
Yep.
And so I believe it's happening.
Those other two countries was England and Germany.
Absolutely.
And it's going to spill into Italy. The rest of Europe. Yeah, and Italy, right?
I heard Italy and Germany with France, but yeah, probably England. But yeah, it's just a couple countries, and then it's going to spread. So yeah.
Are you talking about the revival, or are you talking about this persecution?
Revival. He prophesies there'll be a short war that'll happen before, and I thought, well, okay, you know, it seems like it's headed towards that. You know, Islam is battling with their, you know, with the culture there, you know, and so it's just, it says there'll be a short war, and then I believe after that, revival. So, war, I guess, I mean, you know, yeah, war on the natural, you know, not a spiritual warfare, but sounds like a, you know, these cultures rising up and, you know, destroying Islam or kicking Islam out of other countries. I mean, is that what he means? But he says there'll be a war, and then I believe he said after that, you know, revival will come, something like that. So,
amen. Okay, anybody else got something they'd like to share? There's three URLs or websites up on the chat that Pat's got one. Said, I believe this is the prophecy you were referring to. I'm not sure which one that was. Oh, the
Kim. That's the one with Kim.
Okay. And then what's the Facebook, George? Oh, that's the young man that Joseph Manning. Okay. I got it. That's the one with the boy that fell out of the barn. And then Missy's got hers up there. And then Joe put the one. Okay. The one about the prophecies of France, if anybody wants to copy those down. Amen. Okay. I hear my phone going off. All right, anybody else got something they'd like to speak about or comment on? Y'all know how, go ahead, Pat.
How did that work?
Hey, it looked good. It looked good. I saw it. You know, I even noticed that when y'all raise your hands with the blue light, with the blue hand, it comes down in at a sign down at the bottom, too. So that's good.
I was thinking, you mentioned something about this Mario. It sounded like he was a Baptist. And I know that one thing that the Lord, it kind of hit me, but one thing that the Lord showed me, because I came through that door in the early 80s, and I was quite a while, probably 10 years in that particular denomination, and I remember it was a struggle at times because the Lord was teaching me, was certainly whittling down the, or rubbing the rough edges off my life, or however you want to put it. It was, I guess, the school of hard knocks. And I remember as I began to see that I began to realize, obviously I was a Christian, new Christian. I didn't know my left from my right. So I wasn't aware of the gamut of what God was obviously doing in the world today and how all the denominations and all this thing, how it all shakes out and why it's here, etc. But so at the time I started noticing that I become aware of the scripture in Hebrews talks about the new covenant and God promising his new covenant. We have entered into this new covenant relationship with him, and I was stuck on that verse related to God pouring out the Holy Spirit and whatnot. For I was probably on that verse for maybe 2 years, trying to understand where I was at, how I was in this this denomination. It was kind of a anti. Culture was kind of an anti-charismatic culture. In other words, those that spoke in tongues and believed in healing and demons and this and that, they were our particular group didn't believe any of that, and these guys were off in left field and whatever. That whole environment. And of course, I started to realize through that process that the people around me were stuck in a particular relationship with God that that was more of an old covenant relationship through the law, but they were new covenant Christians. They were living kind of in both worlds. And as I began to realize it at the time, is that I guess I described it in my immaturity, I guess, or my observation, is that these people are Christians. It's just that they don't know God. They don't have that connection in the spirit. And of course, I say that, and I certainly don't mean to sound critical or anything when I say that, but what the Lord gave me through that process to a certain degree is that the people in that non-spirit-filled section of Christianity have come from a foundation of I won't say a dependence upon the word, but the written word of God is a priority, is more of a priority than the spiritual side or input of the spirit and the guidance of the spirit. They take more of their guidance from the written word of God. And so there's a tendency to focus on that. Now, obviously, depending on what church you get into, they pick and choose which portions of that scripture that they focus on, and the others they tend to hold down or ignore. But the basic bottom line is that there is a higher respect for the Word of God, the written Word of God, than there is the Spirit of God and His guidance. And I think that the thing that I feel the need to say is that there's not a, it's important that we don't discount that, that, shall we say, that priority or that that importance in that section of Christianity, because God is going to use that to bring in the Holy Spirit and to fill that process. But I think back of some of the leaders that came from that section of Christianity. You have John Wesley, you have Charles Finney, who did miraculous things coming in as far as revivals in the 1800s and whatever. So you have a whole gamut of people on that side of the non-spirit-filled side of Christianity that focused upon the intensity of that, of the written word of God, and applied that, and God did some miraculous things through that. And of course, it wasn't until the 1900s or the early part of the 1900s when the Holy Spirit kind of came on the scene with through the Azusa Street and that whole process there, and kind of brought that side of the spirit-filled Christianity into prominence or into understanding or reality, you know. So I say both things to say that before, just as a point to say that before spirit-filled Christianity came in this latest part of the century, the non-spirit-filled portion of Christianity came all the way up through the ages. And I think I believe that God is going to take those and marry those together, because we were not meant to be separate. We were meant to be one together. And the aspects of the, shall we say, the non-spirit-filled focus and intensity upon the importance and significance of the written word was really one of the missing elements that I observed in the spirit-filled Christians back in the day, back when I was in the Baptist church, because I had gone to a couple of the charismatic churches at the time, and I saw what the freedom and permissiveness or freedom of the filled spirit environment without, with the absence of the priority of the written word of God, and what that sets free in the spirit-filled section of Christianity. And so, and I could see that, you know, I asked the Lord through many times of my mounting frustration and through that time, if he wanted me to leave and, you know, go to another church. This I've had enough of this, Lord. I've learned all I need to learn here. I'm tired of it. I can't handle it anymore. I'm ready to go. And I would get up and walk out of church and walk down to the Wawa or whatever and grab a cup of coffee. And by the time I got back, the Lord would say, you know, this is where I put you. When I get ready for you to move, then I'll move you out of there or whatever. And so, but I just want to encourage us all to realize that God, that none of the non-spirit-filled side of Christianity and the spirit-filled side of Christianity, none of that is an accident. God didn't hasn't allowed that to happen by accident. There's a reason for that, because he's going to bring it all together and bring it all together in one, and the strengths of one side or one section will fill and fill up the weaknesses of the other side. So I just felt like I needed to kind of say that, but anyway, amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Go ahead. Go ahead, Missy.
I'd like to quickly read this in Ezekiel 37, because you talking about that, Pat, just made me think of this in Ezekiel 37:15, starting in 15. The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, and thou, son of man, take thee one stick and write upon it for Judah and for the children of Israel, his companions. Then take another stick and write upon it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel, his companions, and join them for thee one to another into one stick, that they may become one in thy hand. And when the children of thy people shall speak unto thee, saying, wilt thou not show us what thou meanest by these? Say unto them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel, his companions, and I will put them with it, even with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they shall be one in my name, in my hand. And the sticks whereon thou writest shall be in thy hand before their eyes, and say unto them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the nations whither they are gone, and will gather them on every side, bring them into their own land, and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king to them all, and they shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all, neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with the detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions. But I will save them out of their dwelling places wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them. So shall they be my people, and I will be their God. Thank you, Lord. And that's all talking about the non-spirit-filled and the spirit-filled. Israel is non-spirit-filled. Judah is spirit-filled. Amen. The Lord bringing them together, making them one.
Tiffany, FaceTime video.
What happened? What happened to everybody?
What do you mean, what happened to everybody?
Well, I got you back. I had a FaceTime coming through, trying to come through my granddaughter.
Yeah.
Amen. Missy, your scripture reminded me of, you know, out of the mouth to, you know, every, every word shall be established. The other scripture that relates to this is Jeremiah 3, 17 and 18. At that time, they will call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all the nations will be gathered to it, to Jerusalem, for the name of the Lord, nor will they walk anymore after the stubbornness of their evil heart. In those days, the house of Judah will walk with the house of Israel, and they will come together from the land of the north to the land that I gave your fathers as an inheritance. You know, made me think of that too, you know. But the two tribes, two major, Jerusalem and Judah will come together. I mean, Israel and Judah will come together. Amen.
Amen. Well, we're about out of time here. Praise God. Yeah, I got 2 minutes after. Anybody got anything they need to pray about before we go? What's the chat here? Oh, it's Ken Clements prophecies. Okay. Well, Lord, I just thank you again for another night that looks like it's been orchestrated by you to talk about boldness and faith and the other things that we have brought up. And Lord, I thank you for answering all of our prayers. And I know, Father, that all of these people, that we have prayed for are actually being answered right now in the name of Jesus. That young man, Joseph Manning, and also Matt. And Lord, we thank you for it. Bless everybody here tonight with boldness in faith and boldness to witness in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Well, good night, saints. God bless you.